Before we start this ad-free episode, I'd just like to thank everyone for the interest and compelling insights you continue to share on social media. I wrote the case and the courtroom scenes for the show, but when I was recording my jury of improvisers inside the deliberations room, I remember being continuously floored and surprised by the intuitive and discerning observations they've made. These jurors made points, good points, that hadn't even occurred to me. It was the most gratifying sensation, and I'm re-experiencing that now as I listen to your feedback on Facebook and in emails, enlightening me to viewpoints I never would have considered. For everyone listening, thank you for continuing to educate me. In other news, I'm planning to start a line of merchandise. I want to keep prices down because it isn't about revenue for me. I want to foster a sense of community and make people laugh and show you how grateful I am you've taken an interest in this story and this project. So if you have ideas, please let me know. I've got some polls going on social media at Deliberations Pod on Facebook and at Deliberation Pod on Twitter. Or you can email me at deliberationspod@gmail.com. Finally, I'm actively looking for people with interesting insights about this case to interview for our jury breaks. If you have a legal background, an alternative lifestyle, or an empathy for the juror, Carl, I'd love the chance to talk to you and maybe set up an interview. Please email deliberationspod@gmail.com. Okay, that's it. I hope you enjoy this ad-free episode.
Jurors were sent to deliberations in the salacious trial of Samantha Hall, nicknamed Fête Fatale in the tabloids.
Charged with first-degree murder, an arguably risky charge given that the victim, Troy Singer, died of injury during a lone sex act.
Your verdict should not be influenced by feelings of prejudice, bias, or sympathy. Your verdict must be based on the evidence.
Samantha Hall faces a murder conviction in the death of Troy Singer, her submissive lover she instructed to hang with a rope in her absence, finding her responsible for intent, negligence, or reasonable conduct will be the difference between a first-degree, manslaughter, or not guilty verdict. Arguments have concluded and deliberations are in progress. Much of what constitutes first- or second-degree murder involves what the defendant was thinking, feeling, planning. Evidence is introduced, but it's open to interpretation. A jury never knows for sure what goes on inside a defendant's head. However, some things can be ascertained. Physical evidence. The state of a crime scene. This murder investigation began at the site Troy Singer was discovered, with a knot around his neck and a footstool 1 foot from his hanging body.
The footstool was plastic. It was 12 inches long, 12 inches wide, and the step was 8 inches off the floor. We believed it was mostly used by Samantha to reach the highest shelves in the playroom.
Samantha Hall was 5'5".
When you entered the playroom to discover Troy, where was the footstool?
Probably about a foot away from Troy's feet. It was laying on its side.
Okay. Detective, you cut down Troy Singer in a rescue effort before any photographs could be taken.
That's correct.
And you initially thought Troy was alive because you saw movement. Is that correct?
Yes. When I approached him, I noticed movement in his left hand.
Dr. Lawrence, the state's medical examiner, shed light on this phenomenon.
Post-mortem flaccidity of the muscles usually takes 1 to 2 hours, meaning it takes that long for the muscles in your body to lose all function. As these muscles die, something called reflexive muscle action occurs. They contract, causing reflexive actions like muscle twitching and spasms.
That twitch turned out to be a bitch for law enforcement. Sharon Largo is a professional rigger. She teaches BDSM rope tying workshops in Central Florida, two of which Samantha attended.
Is the Fehrman friction hitch a safe knot by which to suspend a person by the neck?
Suspending someone by the neck is never safe. However, if someone's feet remain on the floor, there is an illusion of hanging that can be achieved for those who have that fantasy.
Is that what you teach in your workshops? Feet on the floor?
Well, yes, for beginner and intermediate riggers. Or I'd suggest using a chest harness. I mean, if someone is an expert or a shibari master, obviously they can push those limits safely, but feet on the floor is the simplest method for limiting risk.
Shibari is an ancient Japanese art of rope tying that involves suspending people in the air with beautiful, meticulously knotted patterns.
How would you determine Samantha Hall's level of expertise?
She was way too advanced for my classes. I think she attended more for the social aspect than the material.
So then she knew how to tie a pheromone friction hitch?
Yes.
Would you describe the pheromone hitch as a safe knot?
Knots are always safe. It's the practitioners that can be dangerous.
Is the pheromone hitch an adjustable knot?
Yes, it is.
How would it be adjusted around the neck for the purposes of erotic asphyxiation?
Well, first the knot would be tied, leaving a large enough opening for the head. Next, the person would place their own or their partner's head through the hole and slide the knot until it's taut.
We have a rope here in the courtroom today. Are you available to give us a demonstration?
Objection, Your Honor. May we approach?
This sidebar led to the jury being excused, which led to their early dismissal while the judge heard arguments in open court. The defense won, so the following day the jury, as well as the public, were able to view a rope demonstration.
The knot is tied this way. You begin by looping it, twist it around the long strand 3 times, and then pull it through here. Tighten it up. This is it. This loop on the side here is the safe release. You pull the knot out by tugging on the free end, not the loop end here like we see, but the loose end here. Give that a tug.
She tied the knot again and left the witness chair to stand and show the knot's function in an asphyxiation scene.
So this part would be suspended from above. I put my head through here and tighten the rope.
She tightened the noose-like knot around her neck and then pulled the long part of the rope above her head to illustrate a hanging position. In the courtroom, the knot did not look like a typical noose. There was a loop sticking out of its side. When the rope expert pulled the end of the rope, the shorter end hanging loosely around her torso, the pheromone hitch came easily undone. This knot was tied in court with jute rope, the same brand and thickness used by Samantha Hall. The pheromone hitch was introduced into evidence, as was the footstool. The jury is reviewing both.
Wow, that comes apart really easily.
I know, right?
A lot easier than I expected.
I was expecting like a traditional noose, you know, with the multi-wrapping, but this is just a simple little knot.
It's almost a shoelace tie.
Exactly.
Yeah, on mine, I barely had to pull it, and the whole thing came out. I was not expecting that.
The rope is like really rough and itchy, though, too, so I don't know if...
It's kind of sharp, right?
Yeah. Which I guess she said she wanted to see.
She wanted
to see the marks.
Yeah.
Does anyone know how to tie this knot?
I tried.
Oh, I mean, I was trying to watch the woman when she was doing it in court, but imagine you have to practice it a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that's why there are workshops on it. So. Right.
I just tried tightening mine around my neck fairly tightly, and when I pulled it, it had some tension, but it came apart pretty easily.
Yeah. Imagine you were the police officer and you came running in and saw this. I would think if you tried pulling it from the side, it would just come right off.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
Like, why would she have a need
why
to
would
cut,
she
it?
Cut through it?
Well,
why
I don't.
Why would it occur to you to try to pull it apart?
Right.
Because what else would you do? There's the thing sticking there, so you try pulling it at the knot, and then you would pull it at the side.
But the knot was at the back of his neck, wasn't it?
Yeah, but she did cut him down. From the top, I mean, it seems like you're saying, Carl, like if she had tried to pull the noose open.
At least once.
Yeah, because it is a slip noose, so it should have pulled open as opposed to cutting
it. But then again, she didn't really know. She didn't,
I guess it's a split-second decision.
I've never played with this knot before, and I just gave it one tug and it came out.
Yeah, but you also weren't removing it from a man who you thought was on the brink of death.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, fine, but I'm personally kind of...
Well, also, if
shocked
you pull...
about how easily this thing comes apart. Mm-hmm. It seems like a child could pull this.
Yeah,
open
but you
like
had
that.
Nothing inside of it. It was dangling in air in the palm of your hands with no friction, no tension.
And if you were to pull the wrong loose end, then the other side does nothing, does absolutely nothing, other than tighten it, actually.
Well, there's no other way he could have pulled it, because this part would have been above
him. But if she cut him down, then there would have been two loose ends.
But
and if she pulled the wrong one, then it would have tightened.
If she pulls the part that he was tied up with that was hanging, it would have slipped all the way out.
See, I'm pulling the one that he was hanging from, and it's getting smaller.
But if you pulled it the other way from where it's looped around his neck?
If I pull this one, the release, it comes undone.
And remember, we're talking about a police officer here, not just a random person. This is a person that's trained to deal with a crisis situation mm-hmm. that can use critical thinking. So
that leads me to believe that
she would have at least tried to undo the knot before mm-hmm. bringing out the knife.
Do you believe that all police officers are trained in Fairmont knots?
No, but I believe that they're trained to handle crisis situations. Let me wrangle us back in, unless the department
was somehow complicit, or like if we're alleging misconduct,
right.
or that she was framed somehow by the cops, that's a whole other thing.
I'm saying that this gets back to was the knot actually a Fairmont hitch or not? Because after seeing this knot, I have a really, really hard time believing that the knot was tied correctly if the police officer couldn't just pull it off.
That makes a good point. I mean, if it's this easy to undo, why couldn't he undo it? But of course, he was also on the brink of unconsciousness, so, you know, maybe his motor functions weren't doing well. He didn't have enough strength to pull it. I don't know.
Also, and if it's a knot you don't know if you're going to tighten it. I don't fault the detective for cutting it. I don't.
But I'm wondering about Troy. Like, if he didn't have full functionality in his arms, he might not have been able to pull it out.
And that also brings up the footstool. I have the footstool, by the way, if anybody wants to see it.
Oh, okay.
Does anybody want
to
look at it?
Yeah, let's pass it around. Okay.
That makes me also want to question, I don't know if we ever got a good answer for this, why did she decide to have him use the footstool? Because obviously mm-hmm. if he kicked out the footstool and there was more pressure on his neck, it would have made him pass out faster and have a harder time undoing the knot. But why did she make him use the footstool if the safest thing to do is to have your feet on the floor?
The feet on the floor, right. Yeah.
It seems like an unnecessary risk, especially if she wasn't going
to
be there.
That's a tough one for me to wrap my brain around, too.
Yeah, when Ms. Largo was testifying, and she's obviously a very experienced practitioner, she said she always suggests the feet on the ground, but she did say if you're like really, really skilled in this, you might not. And I guess it sounds like Samantha was really highly skilled.
Is there a possibility that Samantha misjudged the height of the rope? That maybe she tied it too high,
with all her experience.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Because his feet weren't barely touching the ground, which I think is what she was going for.
So we're talking maybe like the tips of his toes were on the ground?
That's what it sounds like.
That's
he couldn't stand on the balls of his feet, the tips of his toes. Because of that fact alone,
the height of this footstool or the footstool becomes irrelevant to me personally.
I agree.
Because the rope was tied at the correct height, I think.
Yeah. So would it have been the same effect with or without the footstool?
I think it seems like it would.
Right.
Yeah. He needed the footstool in order to reach the noose to get his head through.
Right, right.
But also, it would have made sure that there was enough pressure on the rope to choke him to death.
Right, as opposed to him just, if he had been standing on the ground, him releasing his own weight.
Right.
And then he could have stood up at it.
Because then we probably wouldn't be here.
There wouldn't be as much pressure on his neck, so conceivably he could have still been alive mm-hmm. when the police officer showed up if it wasn't that extra height from the footstool.
Yeah.
Right.
It just seems to me like if you wanted to make sure someone was dead, the footstool is a good way of
ensuring
that.
I guess
that.
The question I wonder is obviously Samantha was very practiced in rope tying and rope, I don't know, play. I wonder how familiar Troy was with ropes. Like, was he familiar with the Fairmont hitch? Had he untied this rope before? Had they done rope practice in the past?
Would he have even known...
You know, obviously, she seems to think, at least she's testifying, that he knew how to get out of it.
Well,
but I do wonder that.
I think that it's debatable whether he knew anything about knots. That never really seemed to come up. But with this specific knot, like I said, I think a child could figure out how to undo this knot in 2 seconds. You barely have to pull on it.
Yeah.
So I think his expertise when it comes to this isn't relevant.
Right.
To me, this seems like strong proof that she didn't tie the knot right. I don't know how else to see this. It's a compelling
mm-hmm. argument.
It really
is. I agree,
is.
Carl. I really do.
Unless we think of user error.
Well, and that's the other... And that was why I was wondering if, you know, just from the lack of oxygen, Troy just let it go too far, and by the time he felt he needed to release, he just couldn't control his arms or didn't have the strength.
It's really unfortunate we don't have that knot.
Exactly. And then the cop couldn't remember. And obviously, you can see if you cut through this, there's no way you could preserve
what it looked like originally.
I mean, they have this whole setup in the playroom with the hook hanging from the ceiling for the rope. And so I mean, this is a thing that I I imagine they did quite frequently. And I wonder if the footstool was a regular item in the use when they would do things like this. I mean, she's only 5'5". Right. So she couldn't string him up, for lack of a better term, successfully on her own ever. So I wonder if this was the practice. I mean, going back to the footstool. But, I mean, I wonder if that's what something that they always had to use because she's so much shorter than him.
Right.
Or she needed it to reach certain shelves.
Certain shelves in the, which I imagine she did. I mean, obviously, I mean, you know, they should
have a footstool in my closet to reach my shoes.
Exactly, and I have a footstool in my kitchen because I can't reach everything.
Right.
Yeah, the footstool just is not registering with me. I hate to sound like a broken record.
No, I don't think it matters.
The testimony from the detective that his toes were touching the floor, like that takes the footstool out of consideration for me personally. The height of the footstool, what it looked like, the fact that
I don't know why they harped on that for so long.
Doesn't matter to me at all. And I understand what you're saying, Carl, about the rope having to be cut, but you use the word, it's proof of it not being tied correctly, and I don't think it's proof of anything. I think it definitely raises questions. But to use the word proof, it's a question mark and nothing more.
Can we talk about how Sharon Largo mentioned that Samantha took two of these knot tying workshops, but she didn't even need to because she was an expert. So I think that knocks out the possibility of accidental mistying of a rope.
I agree.
I think
there's no chance of
that. Well, and seeing how simple this knot is, like this doesn't seem difficult to tie. And she would have played with it before hooking it up. I agree.
She's definitely learned in ropes.
I feel like if the rope didn't come undone, I feel like user error or, you know, her doing it accidentally just, it doesn't seem practical. I mean, obviously we can't make assumptions.
And you can't prove that.
No, you can't prove it.
But you can't prove that there wasn't user error.
But by process of elimination, look at, like they said, she was so good at tying these knots that she was beyond anything they did in these classes.
I mean, they compared her to those master Japanese knot tiers.
Yes, and this is not as complicated a knot as I think any of us would have imagined it to be.
I understand
and
that.
She's done this how many countless times for 10 years. The possibility that she made an error so much that he couldn't undo the knot is really slim.
So then
unless she did it
but
on
it's
purpose.
Not impossible.
It's not impossible. That's
the
point.
There is
reasonable
doubt.
I could win the lottery tomorrow. That's not impossible
but
either.
Carl,
but we have to look at probability.
Even an expert in any sort of trade has the potential to make a mistake. It's human nature.
True. Okay, but if someone's life is on the line, don't you think you would pay extra attention
to
how you're tying the knot?
Start with it being about his life being on the line. It started with giving a sexy surprise. Well, so, Dominic, you don't want to rule out the option then that it was mistied accidentally?
Well, one thing in looking at the knot right now is like I can see there's a little frayed part that's kind of jutting out, and just the way that this knot is really rough and coarse, I'm wondering if it's possible that she tied it properly, but there was some sort of, you know, knot or mistwisting in part of the rope that it got stuck while he was trying to pull it.
Or he was pulling a frayed part that wasn't
exactly, because I'm looking at this frayed part right here, and I could see how it could get a little stuck.
We also know that he was aroused by breath play, so sometimes when you're in the mood, it's hard to stop yourself.
Yeah.
He maybe chose to not stop.
Maybe aliens invaded and they came in his house and then they changed the knot.
We're just talking about the different options.
I feel like this brings up more questions than answers.
I think you guys are overlooking what's right in front of us, which is this is a relatively simple knot. She was an expert. It's super easy to undo. The only reasonable option here, as I can see it, is that she tied a different knot deliberately. I don't know how you can see it any way else.
But real quick, I have one question, though. How do we know that is the knot she tied? It was cut. Just because she apparently does this all the time and apparently there's experts, how do we know that was actually the knot she tied?
We don't.
Besides her saying it.
Right?
Yeah.
We don't.
Deliberations continue today in the murder trial of Samantha Hall.
Samantha Hall waits in jail as her jury concludes day two of deliberations.
A quiet but intense period for Samantha Hall. Her family remains inside their Apopka home while protesters and supporters gather on the family's front lawn.
Samantha Hall doesn't face only murder.
but lesser included charges as well. Next time on Deliberations.
There was an entire section of the closet which was just rope.
Very extreme, risky play.
Never use a thin, inflexible rope for unmonitored breath play.
Deliberations is created, written, produced, directed, and edited by me, Chelsea Cox, and launches as part of the Audio Boom Network. Today's cast, jury, Macklin McGlahey, Sam Britton, Sierra Marks, Lindsay Rousseau, Adam El Sharkawi, and Alice Bowden. News and Courtroom, Allison Brown, Michael Cortez, Victoria Murray, Zoe Yale, Jessica McKay, Victoria Dunn, and Joseph Holt. To support this podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review. Tell your friends. Say hi on social media. You can find me on Facebook at Deliberations Pod, Twitter at Deliberation Pod, or on my home site, deliberationspod.com. You guys are amazing, and I can't wait to keep talking to you. See you Monday for our second jury break.